Today's shiur is Masech Bava Metzia, Daf Kuvav. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah Makabel Sodom Chaveroi, if somebody is working in somebody else's field, Velch L'chogav, and it was attacked by grasshoppers, Oy Nishtefa, it was wind blasted, and all of the grain fell out of the stalks in Makas Medinahu. If this is a situation that every field in this neighborhood, as we'll discuss in the Gemara, was affected, Menakaloi Min Chakoroi, then the halach is he could deduct from the amount that he owes him on a annual basis. And as all the Rishonim point out, as we've been discussing in our Shiurim, there are two ways how property was leased. The one was a resis, and one is kablonis. A resis is that you get a certain amount of the produce, a certain percentage the oris gives to the landlord. So then, and that can't be what this mission is speaking about, because in such a situation, they're partners in the loss, and since they're partners in the loss, whatever happened, they're both going to share equally. Our Mishnah, as the Mishnah just used the words, that it was a situation of chakira, where the tenant has to pay a certain amount, no matter what, every year. And now we have a question, what is the halacha if he claims that he should not have to pay what is the agreed upon amount because of this Makas Medina, because of this situation? And the Mishnah taught us that he's allowed to deduct. However, says the Mishnah, Eina Makas Medina, if this wasn't something that affected everyone, it's only this particular property that was affected, then the halach is Eina Nakla Mechakura, he has no right to deduct. In Kibla Himena B'mos, however, if the way the agreement was that it's not going to be paid in produce, it's going to be paid in money, then it doesn't make a difference what happened, Benkach and Benkach, no matter what the situation is, Eimenakulei Mechakuroi, the halacha is you do not deduct from the rent that is owed. Heichidami, Max Medina. So begins the Gemara in trying to understand what is the definition of a Max Medina. Amar Yehuda, Kigoin, Deshtadif, Ruba de Baga. If most of the fields in that vicinity were affected, that is considered a Makas Medina. Ulama Kigoin Shinishtat for Abbasadus Mabar Husel. Ula says that alone is not a Makas Medina. The definition of a Makas Medina is that the four properties that are around that, if the four properties that are around that area are affected. There's an interesting question that the Pais can discuss, unfortunately relevant with Zman Hazeh, where entire regions of Eretz Yisrael have been evacuated. The north of Eretz Yisrael has been evacuated. And the question is, people who have rented apartments in those areas, do they have to pay rent for this time where they're not able to be in their homes because of the evacuation? So this, the Paiskim say, our Gemara is really that question. And our Gemara says that when there's a Makas Medina, something that affects everybody, the halacha is that you're allowed to hold back, withhold from paying rent. And the Ramah in Yachashim Mishpat, Simon Shin Yud Beis, Sif Yud Zayin, says, Nisra of Kaliir, have a Makas Medina, Menakalim and Aschiris, if the entire city was unfortunately burnt down, that is considered a situation of a Makas Medina, Menakalim and Aschiris, and you could deduct from the rent, Mashloi Dabab, and not only does the Ramah say that you have intent to get back your rent, but even if you already paid it, even if you already paid the rent. If not, then you can't, if you're entitled to get back your rent. Of course, the Pesach can discuss what will be the halacha if some people remained. Can the landlord say that, well, there are people that stayed, so you could have stayed also. The Pesach can suggest that if most of the people ran away, or certainly if it was a government requirement that they evacuate, that is enough to be considered a max medina. Amma Ula, Baba Marava, they asked the Netz Yisrael the following question. Nishtatef Telem, if a row in the field got destroyed, Nishtatef Telem Echra Pnei Kulay, if around the entire perimeter of the field, one row around the entire perimeter of the field got destroyed. But Nishtayip Telem Echad Apnei Kulay. What is the halacha? Is that considered max medina or not? Next question: Nishtayip Telem Echad Apnei Kulay. If there's one row that stayed not affected, what will be the halacha? If Sukabira Mai, if between the field that is neighboring my field, there is an empty field. So what is the halacha? Can the tenant say, well, certainly, if that field would have been planted, it also would have been adversely affected. It wasn't affected because it's empty. Or can the landlord say, no, that field would have been affected as well? Another question. Aspasa. If the field was planted with plain grass, which is animal field, mai, we say that the fields around weren't affected, so it's not a max medina. What do we say? Because it wasn't planted with grain. When do you have these various issues that we're mentioning? That's only when they're planted with grain, and the grain could unfortunately be adversely affected. But when it's not grain, when it's just grass, so there's no produce, there's no grain to get ruined, what will be the halacha? Says the Gemara, if the field that was between my field that I rented that got affected was planted zera acher mai, do we say that the fact that that field wasn't affected has no bearing on my field? And therefore, if it would have been planted the same as my field, they both would have been destroyed, and therefore would be considered Makam Medina. Was the fact that the other field was planted with something else cannot show anything regarding my field? And then asked the Gemara, Chitel Gabesoyrim Gizara Achadami, how do we look at wheat and barley? Are they considered one or two? If they're considered the same, so whatever is going to be in the neighboring field will be a sign what is the status of my field. But if they're considered different, then one has nothing to do with the other. Another question. That the entire world got affected because the grain fell out of the stalks. But the tenant's field, his grain got ruined because the stalks dried out. Or vice versa. Says, what is the halacha with all these questions? And the Gemara says, teiku, they remain a teiku. Amalei, if the landlord told the tenant, zara b'chite, plant wheat there. Vazel hu, and instead of him planting wheat there, he went, Vazelhu Vazar Basari, he planted barley. Vishtatef Ruba de Baga, and most of the fields around, whatever we're going to say is the definition of most of the fields, what got ruined? Vishtatef Nami Hanach Sari, delay, and his barley was also adversely affected. Mai, how does the halacha look at the situation? Mi Amrinin de Amalei, Ila Zerata, had you planted the field, Chiti, as you were supposed to, it would have gotten ruined. Aduma, and therefore that's what the tenant can say, and therefore the tenant could say, I should not be held responsible. Aduma, he could say, maybe Matzamale, maybe the landlord could say, Ilazrata Kriti, if had you planted the field as you would have, as you were supposed to have, Mkaimbi, the Sigza Amalach, Yamalach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah people. And when I davened for a wheat field, because that was what I knew you were planting, because that was what we had agreed you would plant here. And since I davened for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard that tefillah. But that's not what you planted. And since it's not what you planted, that's why my tefillahs cannot be held. From this Gemara, we see that even though, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're davening for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's clear that when a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be very clear in his tefillah. And the Meshech Chochma says that this concept is really taught to us by a Medrash that Rashi quotes. The Pasuk tells us that the king of Arad came out to Kak Kna Yisrael. The Medrash says, however, it was not really the king of Canaan, it was really Amalek. But why is he called Canaan? Because they disguised themselves as Canaanim by speaking the Canaanite language. What were they trying to do? They were trying to confuse Bnei Yisrael to conceal their true identity so that Bnei Yisrael should not daven, would daven that they should be saved from the Canaanim. But really, it was the Malekim. Klal Yisrael, Rashi says, recognized that there was something amiss here. And that's why if we look in the Pasuk says that when they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they used the words, Titein ho'am hazeh biyodi. They didn't mention any specific people because they were not sure who it was. But we see from here that when you daven, it's clear, it's critical to mention whom you're davening. And from here we see how far the power of tefillah is. The power of tefillah is that a person has a right to believe that if I would have davened and I would have davened properly, my tefillah would have been heard. And let's understand the Gemara. The Gemara is speaking about a case where all the fields in that vicinity were destroyed. And this person has a rightful claim to say, well, if I would have davened, if I would have known and I would have davened, I could assume that my tefillah would have been heard. And since you planted what I didn't know you're planting, I have a right to claim that you owe me the money. And in fact, says the Gemara, Mestabed Amalei, Izrat Echiti, the person has a right to say, had I done what I was told, have mekayim bi v'sigza omer v'yakaloch v'aturachecha noga oyer. That whatever person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears his tefillah. This is actually a difficult concept that we have to speak about. Because, of course, as our Gemara is so clear, a person has such power in his tefillah that all the fields in the vicinity would have gotten ruined, but not his field, because of his tefillah. But he has to be, as we also said, clear in his tefillah. But the Michzalozer in his Sefer, Divrei Torah, has a discussion. When somebody is davening, a person is davening for a shidduch, is he supposed to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, help that I should, that this boy should be my shidduch, this girl should be my shidduch, or should he just daven in a general way? And he says that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kaveh El Hashem, a person should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hope and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem will listen to his tefillah. But it's not for us to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him what to do. A person is allowed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me find the shidduch. A person is allowed to and should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me with parnasa. But a person is not supposed to give direction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet from our Gemara, it seems that not only is tefillah required, But identifying clearly in your tefillah what you're davening for is what you should do. So how do we understand this? So the way the Milchus Halozer in the Sefer Divrei Torah explains, he says, certain times it's obvious what we're davening for. The case that we quoted, when you're davening and you're at war with Amalek, you're supposed to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save you from Amalek. When planted fields that are wheat, it's obvious that you should daven for fields, for wheat. But when you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for something that you don't know what you really need, then we shouldn't be telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. We should daven for a shidduch, we should daven for nasa, but it's not for us to dictate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how he should bring the Yeshua to us. Our Gemara has taught us that if you didn't follow the instructions, then the person has a right to say, well, if you would have followed instructions, maybe things would have turned out differently. So I saw a question where somebody has an insurance policy against theft. But the policy indicates that in order for this person to be insured against such a situation is that he has an alarm system and he has to use the alarm system if he wants to be protected, if he wants that, if the Chas V'Shalom, there is a theft, the insurance policy to cover him. And what happened with this individual is that unfortunately there was a geneva in his home, but he did not have his alarm system working. He did not activate his alarm system, but it's very clear that had he done it, it wouldn't have made a difference. The person would have anyway, the house would have been broken to anyway. Does he have a right for a claim or does he not for right to the claim? So our Gemara says that the person who didn't have the proper, who didn't follow instructions, the landlord and our Gemara says could say, had you done what you were supposed to do, then you wouldn't have had, I would have davened for the wheat to be successful. So I saw that the Marit asks a question. How could somebody be so very confident and say, well, had you done what you would have done, what you were supposed to do, my tefillahs that the property should not should have atzlocha would have been heard. Who is the person that could be so confident? Who's the person that could be so confident that to believe that his tefillahs will always be answered? So the Marit says, of course, the pshat in the Gemara is not that it's only that I could be confident that my tefillahs would have been answered. Part of what the Gemara says is that a person who doesn't do what he's supposed to do, if a person made an agreement that he's going to plant wheat and he didn't plant what he was supposed to do, a person who doesn't do what he's supposed to do is no longer in the same healthy place as a person who does what he's supposed to do. And what the Gemara means to teach us here is that had you done what you were supposed to do, then you would have a new siyat, you would have a special siyata d'shmaya, maybe that you were successful. But the person who doesn't do what he's supposed to do is not worthy of that special siyata d'shmaya. Ask the Gemara, Nishtatvu kol sadoisa shalamachkar. If all of the property that's owned by this landlord was destroyed, Nishtatvu nahabe adayu, and this field was also destroyed. So ask the Gemara, what is the question? However, we've been learning from our Mishnah that in order to have a valid claim, you have to have a Makas Medina. Here there is no Makas Medina. Mai. So what is the halacha? Mi aminin kiv deloy nishtatav ruva debaga. Since most of the fields in that vicinity have not been destroyed, so it's not a Menachas Medina, and therefore like Menachale, he doesn't have a right to make a claim. Since all of the land of that landlord got destroyed, Matzah Amalei, the tenant could say, Hai Mashem Lesser to do. It's obvious that the reason that this property got destroyed is because your bad fortune. Because we see that all of your fields are destroyed, and therefore I should be allowed to deduct the rent. Says the Gemara, Bistabir the Amalei, says the Gemara, the landlord could actually say to the tenant, if you're saying that it's because of if you're saying it's because my problem, Hamshtaile Porta, that isn't a valid claim. The Kedeksiv the Pasuk says, even as I saw, the Sma explains, even if a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is punishing a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has Rachmanis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, yes, is punishing me and my fields are getting destroyed, but he would have left one field not destroyed, and therefore maybe it would have been this field, and therefore you have no right to make this claim. Nishtasfu calls to the Sof Shal Chayker, if all the fields of the tenant were destroyed. Vishtat of Ruba de Baga, but also most of the fields in that vicinity got destroyed. Vishtat of Nami Badayu, and this field got destroyed. Mahu. So now the question is again, Mi Amin and Kivin Vishtat of Ruba de Baga, as we've been learning from the Mishnah, if most of the fields in that vicinity got destroyed, it's clearly an indication that we have a Makas Medina, and therefore Menakele, he's allowed to deduct from the rent. Adam the Shtat of Kula Ara, since all of the property that this tenant owns has been destroyed, Matza Amalei, the landlord could say to the tenant, Mishim Lasa the Dadhu, it's your bad fortune, it has nothing to do with anything else. The proof being, the Mishtat of Kula Sadasecha, we see that all of your properties have been destroyed. So the Taras Chaim makes a very important point. If the only time that the landlord could even perhaps make this type of claim is if all of the fields of this tenant, unfortunately, were destroyed. As soon as there's a field that wasn't destroyed, then this claim can be made. Mastabed Amalei, says the Gemara, the halacha it seems to be, that the landlord can indeed say, Mishum Lasachu, what's happened here is obviously because of your bad fortune. But ask the Gemara Mai, Hach Namile, why can't the tenant counter argue, as we just learned, Imishum Lasai the Dihu, because of its bad, if it is because of my bad fortune, Havim Shayele Perta, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have helped that I would not be completely wiped out. As we just learned, Avim Kaimbi, Knishanu Ma'at Meharbe. Shum Da Amale, so says the landlord back, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to have Rachmanis, he was going to have Rachmanis in you, HaMishtayla Medan Nafshach. He would have saved you that one of the fields that you own, in order that you should have something left over, would have been the field that was saved. It wouldn't have been my field. And therefore, the halacha is that he's going to have to pay. The landlord could say it's obvious, it's because of your bad fortune. But again, point out the Mefarshim, the way to understand this Gemara is if this tenant indeed has his own property. So then the landlord has a valid claim to say, well, if that's the case, it should have been one of your properties that was saved. But in a case where all the properties that he had were rented properties, it would not be the same situation. Meisvei, the Gemara discussed at the beginning of our shir, what is the definition of a Makas Medina? The Torah Kedosha says that if somebody sells property in the Yovel year, the halacha is that b'mispe shnei tvois yimachalach. You sell the properties according to the amount of years to Yovel. Because as we know, the Torah Kedosha teaches us in Parshas Behar, that when Yovel comes, for oros lo simachal tzmisus, you can't sell the property that it should be there forever. So the Brisa teaches us, if the Torah says that you could buy back your property before 2 years pass from the time you sold it. The Torah says, They were like the time during the time of Eliyahu where there was no rain. And Oyla Milyamim, that they're not included, that in those 2 years that you may not buy back your property. But says the Gemara, Shtani Shtofim V'Yirokin, the Brisa speaks about Shtofim V'Yirokin, Doimi D'Shtani Kishne Eliyahu. Mashne Eliyahu D'Lav T'Vua Klal, there was no produce during that time as well, at all. Hachanami D'Lav T'Vua Klal, Ava D'Ika T'Vua, but in a time where there is tefuah, even if in this place there isn't, in another place there isn't, salkalei, they counted towards the 2 years. But we don't apply the concept that we've learned in our Mishnah of Makas Medinahu. How do we reconcile this? Answers the Gemara, Amram Nachum Yitzchak, Shani Hossam. When we speak about that halacha, Dhammakra, the Pasuk is clear in saying, B'mispishnei tefuah shimachalach. Shanim sheyesh tefuah ba'olam. The Torah is teaching us that in regarding the halacha of Yovel, the point being, as long as there is produce anywhere in the world, as long as there's produce anywhere in the world, the halacha is you're allowed to buy back the property. The counted towards those 2 years. Amalei Rav Kahana, Elam Ata, Shvius, then Shmita also Shetala Menayena. Because what are we saying? As long as there's tefuah growing anywhere in the world, then that's enough that it should be counted towards the 2 years. So Shemitah, yes, in Eretz Yisrael, of course we may not work the field, but in Chutz Laaretz we're allowed to work the field. So why is Shemitah not considered one of those 2 years? Do'eka tefuah b'chutz laaretz. Amalei, so Rav Kahana responded, Shvius, the reason Shvius is excluded is because Kata Demalki, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Shmius is not to be counted. If the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant, so that's a special rule that applies to only to Shemitah. If that's the case, that Shemitah is never counted, then ask the Gemara, Shvius doital loy menegarua. The halacha is that if somebody was magdish a field during the time when Yovel was in effect, and the halacha is, the Torah gives us a very clear formula how to redeem that property from Hegdish. The halacha is that if you were poided it, if you were magdish it and redeemed it immediately after Yovel, the formula is chamishim sloim, 50 sloim for every base core. If it's past the year right after Yovel, so we count how many years are there to the next Yovel to make that consideration, to make that calculation. There are 49 years as a max between one Yovel and another Yovel. And we figure if there's less time, then the formula, you owe less. So what's the halacha? The Mishnah Masech the Erech and Daf Chof Heyom and Aleph teaches us nice and seller opinion Lashana. Because if we multiply 49 seller and pidyon, we'll get the chamishim shekel. We'll get the 50 shekel. But if the Shemitah years are excluded, so we never have even 49 years, even if this took place right after Yovel. Because every 7 years, till the Yovel year, there's going to be seven Shemitahs. Amalei, says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the Chazil Mishtach Bepeira. When we speak about this case, the Shemitah, the Torah uses the words when it comes to being able to buy back property. There the Torah says, Shnei Tvuas. So the Torah uses the words of time when you could plant grain. And during the Shemitah year, you can't plant grain. And therefore, the Shemitah year cannot be counted towards these 2 years. When the Torah speaks about redeeming the property of your Magdish, the Torah says, doesn't use the words that it has to be a place that you could plant. It has to be a place that you could use. And this is a place that you could use. You could use it, even during the Shemitah year, although the halacha is that during the Shemitah year, of course, you may not work in the property, but the halacha clearly is that during the Shemitah year, you could use the property to put out fruits and vegetables to dry. Amar Shmuel, the Mishnah taught us that if it was a Makas Medina, then you could take off from the rent. Amar Shmuel, Lo Yishan Al Shazar V'Tzamcha. What does that mean? That I planted and it started to grow, and then it was affected. If it was never planted, then he have no right to deduct. Because the landlord could always say, had you done what you were supposed to do, and you would have planted there, maybe I would have been from the people that the Torah says, that even though all the people in the world are affected terribly, I wasn't affected. I would have had special siyata d'shmaya. I would have had special siyata d'shmaya that I would be successful even in such a situation. Maser Rav Sheshes. So ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Roya Shai Roya, we learned this earlier in Daf Mem Amar Aleph, if a shepherd was working with the animals, v'nich edra, and he left the animals, or barley ear, and he came to the city, and barzev v'taref, and a fox came and destroyed the animal, or bari or daras, as we've mentioned in previous shiurim, when the Torah speaks about the animal a zev attacking, or an ari attacking, the Gemara always uses different wording. An ari is not scared of anything else, and it tramples and eats its prey on the spot. That's why it says darso. The zev is not that confident, and therefore what it does is it schleps the food to wherever it eats, it schleps the animal to wherever it lives, and there it destroys the animal. So it says, ubari v'daros, ein omrim ilo hayusham hayamatzel. We don't just automatically say, this must be the royal's fault. Had he been there, he would have been able to fend them off. Had he been able to do so, then he'd be chayiv. But ask the Gemara, according to what Shmuel just said, had you been there, have mekayim be, then the pasuk that David said to Shaul, that when he went to do battle with Goliath, I would have been extremely successful. Says the Gemara, Mishum D'Amalei, shouldn't that be a valid claim that the owner of the animal should have? Says the Gemara, Mishum D'Amalei, because the Roy could say, Ihavis Chazis, if you were a person that are so worthy, Chazis L'Sruchish L'Nisa, that nothing should happen to your animal, Havis Rash L'Nisha, then there would have been a nace that would occur to you, Kreb Chanina Mendoza, just like in the time of Chanina Mendoza, the Masin Izir Duba B'Kanayu. The Gemara Masechta Tainus, the Chaf A Amar Alef teaches us, there was a situation where somebody passed the home of Chanina Mendoza, and he left his chickens there, and he forgot them. The wife of Rav Chanina asked Rav Chanina, what should she do with these chickens? He said, they're not our chickens, don't touch them, and don't eat from their eggs. And they kept on laying eggs, and those eggs developed into chickens. And there were so many chickens that they were bothering Rav Chanina and his wife. Rav Chanina went and bought ezim, goats, with that money. After that, a while, the person who had left the chickens there came back to the home of Rav Chanina, and he heard Rav Chanina saying, "Kana nachtem es tenagolim shali." Rav Chanina heard how this person was saying to somebody else, this is why I left my chickens. Rav Chanina said to him, do you have a simon that you could show, prove that these were your chickens? So he did. So Rav Chanina gave him the goats that he bought with the proceeds of those chickens. When these goats were still at the home of Rav Chanina, the people came and complained that the goats were entering other people's fields and destroying them. So he said, Rav Chanina was certain that that wasn't the case. And he said, if that is the case, bears should attack and eat up the goats. But if not, that didn't happen, every goat will be able to carry a bear on its head. And that indeed is what happened. In the evening, when the goats came back, they were carrying bears on their head. So the person could say, if you were so confident that nothing would have happened because of your schus, so then nothing should have happened whether I was there or not. So as the Gemara, so why can't the owner count it back and say, Ned the Nisal Rabbaloi Chazina? To have a huge nace where nobody's watching the animal and nothing will happen to them, that I'm not worthy of. But had you been there, then fighting off the animal is not such a great nace, because the animals are scared to go with their people. And Lisa Zuta Chazina, says the Gemara, indeed that is a kasha. The Gemara, Tysus asks, why didn't we learn that the Mishnah taught us earlier on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis that a Reeve Adoiv Hareza Oinus? That if somebody was attacked by a lion, by a bear, it's considered an oinus. But why don't we say that we see here that you could have a nace and have them go away? So he says that what the Gemara means to say is that you have to be there from a nace. And the Satmar Rebbe, in explaining this Gemara, says that a person, in order to be roi, a person to be worthy of having a nace, has to be in the right time, in the right place, where the nace should occur. And what the Gemara means to teach us here is, had you been there, you would have had a nace, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have protected you. It's only because you're not where you're supposed to be, that's when trouble begins. Says the Gemara, the Brice has now discussed, how many times do you have to try to plant something in your field that you could then claim that if something happened, it was beyond your control? So Tanichanda, Pam Rishonah V'Shnei Zara, the first and second time, if you planted the field once and the produce got ruined, you have no right to make a claim, even if there's a Makas Bedina, only if you planted it a second time, or B'Shlishis, but a third time, Ein Azara, then you're not obligated to plant it again. But Tanya Idach, but there's a brother Bryce that says no. Shlish Azara, you even have to try three times. Revius Ein Azara, and after three times you don't have to have. So the Mar is asking, we have a stira. How many times do you have to try? Twice or three times? Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. Ha, Rebbe, v'ha Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Har Rebbe, the Amma betrays him, Nechavazaka. The Bryce that says that you only have to try twice is the opinion of Rebbe that says after twice you have a Chazaka. And the Bryce that says three times is following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, the Amma betlas him, Nechazaka. A Chazaka is only established after three times. This is a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis, when a Mishnah speaks about a woman whose husbands die. And a woman whose husbands die, that woman is labeled a katlonis. And the question is, how many times is a woman, after how many times that her husband died, is a woman considered a katlonis? After twice or three times? The same question comes up regarding Mila. If somebody did a Mila on their son and he didn't survive, how many times does that have to happen in the family that we don't do Mila again? Twice or three times? Amar Reish Lakish, says Reish Lakish, Lo Shanu, when is the halacha that you could take off from the rent? Ela Shazar V'tzamcha V'ach L'chagav, that it was planted and started to grow, and then it was attacked. Avzar V'lai Tzamcha, if it didn't start growing at all, Matzu Amalei Baal Karka, the landlord could say, Kol Yimei Zer Azar V'lai Azal, that you have to keep on trying for an entire season, because maybe the right time, there's a right time to plant and there's a wrong time to plant. And during the season is the time to plant, but you didn't know at the exact same time. At Amos, how long is it considered the right time? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, the Asa Arisim Madbira, when they come back, when the Arisim that work out in the fields come back home. And when is that? That is the time, Kaima Kema Barashehu. As we know, there are 12 mazalas, the 12 zodiacs in the sky. And every month, the way they work is every 2 hours, there's a different mazal that starts the day by the Lois HaShachar. It goes for 2 hours, and that's how it goes for the next 24 hours. And every month, there's a different mazal that is the first mazal of the day. The month of Adar is the time where the mazal kima is the first mazal kima is right in the middle of the sky. It's in effect at 12 o'clock. And when that's the time when the planting season is over. Nesvei asked the Gemara, the Pasuk says that after the Mabel, the Pasuk says, Kol Yemei HaShana, Zara V'Kotzer, Kar V'Chaim, Kayetz V'Chayiv. Says the Braisa, Roshim Gamaliel, Roshim Ramei, Oimer, V'Ken Ha'ir, Roshim Menasseh, Oimer Kedvarov, Chatzi Tishrei, half of the Tkufa of Tishrei, Achezvi V'Chatzi Kislev, Zera. Those are the time to plant. Chatzi Kislev Tevis V'Chatzi Shvat Ari Chayiv. That's when you plant things that ripen quickly and they don't need such a long time in the ground. Chatzi Shvat Adar V'Chatzi Nisan Kor. It's the hottest time of the winter and then we don't plant at all. Chatzi Nisan Ir V'Chatzi Sivan Kotzer. That's when you cut. Chatzi Sivan Tamaz V'Chatzi Av Kayetz. That's when it's very hot and you don't collect anything, but the fruits that are left out, figs and dates, are left out then for drying. Chatzi Elul V'Chatzi Tishrei Chaim. That's when it's even hotter than the summer and nobody works out in the field. Yehuda says he doesn't begin from the middle of Tishrei, he begins from the beginning of Tishrei. Rav Shimon Maina, he says, he begins counting, not from the middle of Tishrei, from Mechezvin. Says the Raman Mekel Bikula, who is the Tana that says the latest time for planting? Rav Shimon, it's Rav Shimon, and he even says, Loi Hama Kolehai, he never said that you plant till Adar, says the Gemara, Loi Kasha. The way to reconcile, so how do we say that the planting goes on till Adar? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Had the Kabbalah B'nei B'charfi, if you accepted to plant something that needs to be planted earlier. So such things are planted till the end of Kislev. Had the Kabbalah B'nei, if you made up to plant something that are planted later in the season, produce which is planted later in the season, then the halacha is that planting that's done later in the season is done until Adar. Says the Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to kibble him in Eminos. But everything, says Rabbi Yehuda, that we discussed, is only if the agreement was to pay in produce. So now we have a question, when is it considered a makas medina that you could deduct? But if the agreement was to pay cash, then all these considerations aren't applicable. Who gave the kabel aral mizrei tume? Somebody accepted a property that he's going to plant in it garlic. Aguda de Nahar Malka Sava. This property was by the beach of Nahar Melech Sava. Bezuze, and the agreement was that he'll pay cash, pay money for renting it. Estarka Nagma Sava. The river got closed up, and the instead of the water going towards the field, it went in a different direction. Ozla Kameh de Rava. So the tenant came to Rava, and he says, I should be allowed to deduct. Omle Nahar Malka Sava, over the Misker. This is very unusual that this should happen to this river. This is clearly a situation, he said, of Max Medinahi, Zil Nakilei, you're allowed to deduct. But ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanu L'Rava, Hanan Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Kiblim De Menos, Ben Kach, Eim Nakilei Mechak Puroi, that if you're paying in cash, you're not entitled to deduct. Amal Les L'Chosh L'Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and since nobody follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to worry. And if it's a max medina, you have a right to deduct. It says the Mishnah mekabel sod mechavera besara kor chitin l'shana, that the person will pay a sara 10 kor of chitin for a year v'loksa, and the chitin that grew in that field turned out to be very poor quality. He could pay the poor quality. And again, even though it's talking about a case of chakiris, where he's not getting necessarily a percentage from the field, still he has the right to give him this poor quality property. Says the Gemara, "Hay chita yafas." If the wheat that grew in this property were particularly good, the tenant cannot say, I'll buy from the shuk, I don't have to give you such high quality. And the way the Chazon Ish explains is because 2 points. Because that was usually the case, that even by Chakiris, you paid from the produce that was made, that was produced in that field. But then the Chazon Ish asks another question. Why should this not be considered a davar shloba l'olam? How could you make an arrangement, or how could you effect a transaction on produce that hasn't even grown yet? So the Chazon Ish says, what's happening in our Gemara is that there was a schayvus. You can't sell or buy something that doesn't exist, but an obligation that you could do even on something that doesn't exist yet. Ha'u gavra, the kavul arulus. Spasa. Somebody accepted to plant in the field the grass for animals. Bechayre the sari, and change that he's going to pay barley. Vavda spasa, and the field produced a spasa. Vecharsha, and then he plowed the field. Vezara sari, and then he planted barley. Vlokahani sari, and the barley got ruined. Shokrav chaviva gemar saw the pras the kamen derava agav namai kiloksa nois lemetoychadami. Is this a case like we learned in a mishnah that if the property of the field gets ruined, that's what the landlord has to accept? Oiloi, because their arrangement wasn't that he's going to plant barley. Amalei midami hasam lo avda arish luchusa demara. In the case of a mishnah, I was supposed to plant wheat. I planted wheat, and it didn't come out good. Avalocha, in our case, of the Arish L'chus Namara, it was supposed to plant shachas. Had you done what you were supposed to do, then everything would have been fine. You had no right to plant sirim, and if the sirim that came out were poor quality, you can't use that to pay off your obligation. Hu gav the kavah paris mechavrei ba'asadana chamri. He accepted to grow grapes, and he'll give 10 barrels of wine from those grapes. Tuk of hu chamra, and that wine got ruined. Savra of kahuna l'meima, hana masnisen, that's the case of a mishnah, where the mishnah says, loksa nois l'metaychai. Amalei Rashi, midami, hosnoi avda arish l'chusai. I was supposed to plant something, I did plant it, and it didn't come out good. Hocha avda arish l'chusai. I planted grapes, and the grapes were fine. It's just that the wine got ruined, but that isn't what the land was producing. But if it was the grapes that got ruined, or if something happened to the stacks of wheat that we leave out to the field, that is considered that what I was supposed to do, I did, and what you were supposed to get got ruined, and that would be fine to pay to the landlord.